The Providence College Friars.
Will the party ever end tonight, downtown Providence?
The Big East.
23 points.
And the rest of the college hoops world.
You know that. The party will not end.
This is the Providence Crier Podcast with your host, a PC grad standing in at 4 feet tall. He is the Providence Crier himself, Mike Zarek.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Providence Crier Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Zarek, Providence Crier. Follow me on Twitter. That's at Providence Crier. Read our blog, theprovidencecrier.com. Join with me as always. We have BFC in the house. Follow him on Twitter at BFC all day. Today is Monday, April 22nd, and BFC, the Friars have landed their fourth commitment from the transfer portal in Chicago State's Wesley Cardet Jr. It was a quick recruitment and commitment. He enters the portal a few days ago. He visits Providence over the weekend, and then sure enough, on Sunday at 5 p.m., announced on the Field of 68 that he would indeed be coming to Friartown. Worth noting, he does have his name in the NBA draft, testing the waters, going to see to get some feedback. But if he does not officially enter the draft, he'll be a Friar next season. We'll get into all the stats and all this, but overall, BLC, what were your thoughts on the Friars landing Cardet?
I think with this commitment, they've checked every single box that they need to check this offseason. They got their co-lead guard in Bensley Joseph. They got a wing that can play the four in a pinch in Abdur Rahim. They got the successor to Odoro and Essendoko, and now they have a true three-level scoring guard in Wesley Cardet Jr. So I think English and staff knocked it out of the park. They were extremely efficient. They knew what they wanted, and they closed quickly. I think what's really important is I think they got all of their primary targets from what we can decipher. There maybe the Griffiths, maybe they missed there a little bit. Who knows? We don't know the details of that, but it seems like everybody that they initially pursued, they landed. So that's a fantastic development. And I think you look at Rich Barron, they trust their evaluation, right? Barron was a perfect example of the recruiting services not thinking too highly of him. He had a great freshman year. So I trust, until they prove otherwise, I trust the evaluation skills of the staff. And this guy, Cardet Jr., as you said, he's looking at the NBA draft, and I don't think he would be drafted, but you see the skill set, which may translate to the NBA draft. So we got a great scoring guard, and I'm really excited about the future of this team, because not only are we going to have some high-level talent in Hopkins specifically, but we also have an incredibly deep team. He said the 13 dudes comment after UConn game. We're at 12 dudes right now. We might add a 13th with a potential reclassification. This team is, and I wrote about it in the article on theprovidencecrier.com, this team is going to be incredibly, incredibly deep. I think they may go even 10, 11 deep in the rotation.
Yeah, we had a Crier Spaces last night, and I said it had to be the deepest Crier team that I can remember now. You know, you got 12 guys ready to go for next year. You have one more opening. We'll see if that's an Osmond reclass or if you get someone out of the high school ranks for class of 2024 or maybe hit the portal one more time. Not sure. Back to Cardet. He's a guy that was a four-star recruit coming out of high school. Could have gone at a handful of places. I know Illinois was after him. He ends up.
Think about every single SEC school was after him. Like, he was a legit, legit recruit.
Yeah, and he chose Samford because his uncle was the coach. His uncle ends up, I think Samford moved on from his uncle prior to him coming to campus. Yet, he honored the commitment. His dad ends up being on staff at Samford for a year. And then Coach Gillian, his uncle there, ends up getting the job at Chicago State. He transfers to Chicago State in for two seasons, really lights it up for the Cougars. Last year, 18.7 points per game, 4.5 rebounds per game, 2.6 assists per game. If you look at the article that BOC put out to kind of learn about his game, really explosive downhill driver to the hoop, can beat his man off the dribble. You wrote about this, and I thought this watching his tape. His ability to you know, get to the rim and then use his athleticism to be kind of creative and finish around the rim, it's pretty impressive. You know, shooting wise, shot 34% last two seasons from three. So he can give you a little bit of that too. He's got really good size, and at 6'6", he's really athletic and can give you, can be a plus on the defensive side as well. So, you know, it's kind of interesting. BJ Freeman, a name that was floated out that the Friars were after. It seems like Cardet is taking that spot. And I would guess that his defensive ability kind of had a role in that, BSA.
Yeah, you see this kid, and the first thing that jumps out to me is his size and his ball handling ability for his size. He looks like he is all 6'6". Sometimes you see these measurements and you wonder if they're accurate. He seems to be all of that height. And he's a big body. It's his fourth year in college. He's been in a strength and conditioning program. Physical player, can play downhill, can also knock down the deep ball. What's going to be interesting is a lot of his deep ball shots were kind of off the dribble. I would like to see him coming off screens a bit more. We didn't see too much of that. I think where he can be unlocked a bit is English's mindset around the defensive end, because he can be a really important part to the defense. He's got a nice wingspan, and I mentioned this. I read it somewhere. It wasn't an original idea on my end, but like, you can kind of see if Duall stayed for 3 or 4 years, him, Cardet Jr. and Duall being the same person, and you see a lot of similarities to them. So I'm really high on Cardet. I think he actually has more athleticism than Duall. It's just another piece, regardless of, I don't think he's going to score 18 points in the Big East. Do I think he'll score somewhere between 10 to 12 points in the Big East? Yes. And it increases the overall talent level of the roster, which is what English is trying to do. We're not going to see the drop off after Carter and Odoro like we did last year. I think, you know, we're not going to have the star level of Devin Carter or maybe even Josh Odoro as well. But I think 3 through 11 are going to be so much better than it was last year. And that's a really good sign.
Yeah. I mean, you got guys that can play kind of all across the roster here. You look at, you know, Barron coming back after a promising freshman season. Pierre, you know, in his, you know, after having a full season, being the point guard full time, getting all those reps throughout the year. You have Corey Floyd Jr., who you've had to lean on some spots, maybe too heavily last year. But you got Justin Fernandez coming off an injury. He could be pretty effective next year, possibly. You know, I talked about it on the space. Mila, I mean, I don't think we'll expect a ton out of him year one, but you never know. You know, Barron was someone that was kind of slept on, and then he ends up making an impact. So, you know, they got a ton of guys that can play now. You add four portal guys. You get Hopkins back from the ACL. And then the front court, totally remake that. You know, Josh Oduro as your center at 6'9" last year. Now you got 2 7-footers, and maybe Oswin as well. So really reloaded the roster here, and English meant what he said about 13 dudes, like you said. So
I think the really important thing is if Hopkins, I mean, knock on wood, if Hopkins gets hurt again, that changes the trajectory of the season. But if any of the other players get hurt, it seems like we have next man in mentality. And a lot of teams say that. I think maybe besides Hopkins getting hurt, you can, and maybe Ndoko because of the lack of experience at the five, we have a really deep team where it is truly next man in and you won't miss a beat.
I mean, you got now three guys that can be primary ball handlers, in Pierre, Joseph, and in now Carnett. A lot to like. I think they address shooting. I think they're going to be a better passing team. Kim English and staff did a really good job here.
And did you see we're starting to get top 25 love preseason because of
I
with the
did.
length? Yeah.
I did. Gary Parrish has us in at 23 in his top 25 and one. We'll see how the summer progresses. Obviously, other teams are still filling their rosters and stuff like that. But that'd be huge if they could get, a preseason top 25 ranking.
And
Because we're always playing from behind in trying to build that resume.
in the past, if we lost a first round pick, a lottery pick potentially, it's little old Providence that's going to be the bottom half of the Big East. We're getting more love now, which is weird to say, and it's a testament to the coaching staff. So I'll ask you again. You caveat with it's early, and I agree. We talked about the Freeman potential ad. Now with Carnett Jr., where do you have us early in the Big East right now? As of right now.
All right, so I'm bumping this up. I'm gonna say top three. I think so far we've had probably the best offseason in the conference, as of right now.
Who's our two main competitors?
Well, I mean, listen, I'm sure UConn's going to reload here. They lose a lot of pieces, and one thing that they'll be interesting with them is like they will, if they lose like Caravan, they're going to lose Klingon, they're going to lose Newton, they're most likely going to lose Spencer unless they go to litigation for that, which I don't even know if Kim Spencer's interested in, to be honest with you. I haven't heard anything like that. So they're going to lose a lot of core guys. And with them from 2 seasons ago into this year, while they lost three starters and three really good players, they still had guys that played vital roles in their championship run the first time, right?
Yep.
You bring back Newton, who was most outstanding player at the tournament. He ends up winning that again this year. They bring back Caravan, right? And this year they might not have that. This year they might have to lean on the big recruiting class that they got last year. I'm certain that they'll add pieces. So I think they'll be in the mix, right? Have to imagine Creighton will be up there as well. Cockburner probably returns. You're shaking your head, but Cockburner probably returns. I think Ashworth could return as well.
You know who's my team that I think might sneak up on us?
Who's that?
Xavier.
Sean Miller's done a really nice job in the portal as well.
But it talks to the retention, right? They add a couple key pieces, but they lose Claude. And Claude, if he stayed around, probably was what preseason first team All Big East. And you talk about maybe like Seton Hall. You're here, Dre Davis. Dre Davis was a low key massive loss for them.
Huge.
And that might not be the end of the key losses for them. We'll leave it at that. So while it's important to land all these great portal players, it's just as important to retain your key players. And I'm trying. I don't know if there's a player that English has lost that he fought for. Like, do you maybe McNair? Is that the only one? That might be the only one where he wanted to keep that didn't end up staying. Like, I can't think of any other players who left that English was really pissed off about.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment.
And that, again, it shows his recruit. It shows his recruiting ability to keep talent on the roster. So, yeah, I love where we stand. I think right now we're easily a top five in the Big East. I would go as far as to say we're the team to beat in the Big East right now. We'll see what the rest of the teams do. But right now we're the team to beat. I think we're solidly right now at top 25 team, no questions asked. I'm going to come out with a recruiting article a little bit later today, early this week at the latest, comparing the recruiting rankings of this 2024, 2025 roster to past Providence rosters, like I've done in the past. I've done some preliminary work, and the rankings come out very favorably for us since we like really started following Providence. So it's a testament to what English is doing. I think last year we had a really highly ranked roster, but it was contingent on everybody staying healthy and having a clean bill of health, which obviously didn't happen.
And here's one thing I will say, what I like about the job that they did. We're talking about this upcoming year and how they're going to be a much deeper team. I think they positioned themselves really well going forward with the roster the next few years here. Granted, you get Jabria Abdul Rahim and Bensley Joseph. And now Cardet are probably guys who are only going to be here for 1 year, and then you look, probably a good chance you lose Hopkins after this year if he comes back and shows that he's the same caliber player he was. So you're going to lose guys, but you also got guys like a Bonk that has plenty of years eligibility left. Sandico, plenty of years eligibility left. You got Pierre as a junior, Floyd as a junior. So you have you look at the roster going forward too, they're gonna have to fill some spots, but they'll be able to do that with high school talent or additional portal adds next year.
But I think I think that's a great point, dude. Next year, here are the following players that have eligibility: Pierre, Esendoko, Floyd Jr., Fernandez, Barron, Bonk, Oswin, Mela, Delorier. So you have, I think the key, like you and I have this debate, and it's like, do you do high school recruiting? Do you do portal recruiting? And I think the easy way out is both. I don't think you can exclusively win just by building in the portal. I don't think you can exclusively win these days just by building in high school. You see with like Kentucky with like the one and dones, that's like not working anymore. And we'll see with Duke with their next year's gonna be really interesting with their like incredible class coming in with if they can rely solely on freshmen. I think the answer might be no. But I think the key to doing this is you build your core via recruiting in high school, and then you fill the gaps with the transfer portal. I think that seems to be a really nice recipe for success. I mean, UConn's a perfect example of that. They did that to a T. The foundation of their team this year was, you could say, Caravan, Klingon, Samson Johnson to a certain extent, and then they filled in the pieces, Stephon Castle too. Then they filled in the pieces on the transfer portal, and they did that last year with Andre Jackson, Sonogo. So if you can do both and you can do it really well, which it seems like English is doing really well, you become really dangerous as a roster and as a program.
I mean, UConn's run was kind of predicated on that recruiting class where they got Caravan and Klingon, right? And then the year before that, I think they got Hawkins. So they kind of built it off that and then filled in pieces with the Tristan Newton via the portal, right? So it was funny. There's a Marquette fan that came on the space last night and was asking about, do I think it's risky to keep reloading from the portal as opposed to high school? And obviously, you look at Marquette's program; they've haven't dipped in the portal too much. That they got Kolick in 21, but didn't add anyone last year, I don't think. I like the portal because you kind of have a better sense of the production that you could possibly get out of a player. That's why I like it, but I think you're right. I do think you kind of have to blend the two. And yeah, Providence is in a really good spot here this year and for a few years to come.
And you think about the 2025 class. We're in on some studs: Jalen Harrell, Jameer Jones, Osman's in that class as of now. So, you land those two guys, and those guys are both. Jameer Jones is a top 30 guy. Harrell's a top 100 guy who's going to keep improving, I think, and end up being a top 50 guy. You add those two. You add two or, next year you'll probably need to get two or three portal players. They're reloading, so I'm really excited. So just going back to Cardet, I've asked you this question, and I think it's a good one worth asking. Is Cardet starting?
Support for this episode of the Province Crier podcast is brought to you by Fox Hill Wealth Management, a fiduciary investment company. Are you struggling to plan for retirement and other life events? Do you need help investing your savings? Well, look no further than Province College graduate Eric Benz, along with his team of financial advisors and certified financial planners. You can gain peace of mind knowing your finances are in expert hands at Fox Hill Wealth Management. Take control of your financial future today. Visit them at foxhillwealth.com to get started. Yes, I think so.
Okay. Are you still as confident that Pierre and Joseph are starting at the 1-2? Because if you listen to his comments on the Field 68 yesterday, he said he's a lead guard, which I think he's more of a 2-3 than a 1-2, personally. But it does beg the question: is it a lock that the 1 through 3 are Pierre, Joseph, Cardet Jr., or are we going to see Pierre Cardet Jr. with Joseph first off the bench, or Pierre Joseph with Cardet first off the bench? Like, I'm curious about that. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think one, we got a long summer to kind of figure that stuff out, right? But to me, I do think those three could probably be set. And then interesting thing is, like, with having a deep team like they have, they can kind of move guys around, and you can have lineups where you can have Joseph and Cardet as your 1-2, or Pierre Cardet as your 1-2. And so you can kind of mix and match those things. I still think English and staff have a lot of faith in Pierre running the show. He's developed throughout the year, and I think he'll have a big junior season. I do. So
I
I
mean,
personally think yes. And listen, like, Devin Carter is not played on the wing essentially for Providence last year before the Hopkins injury, and essentially after. And he's not really a true wing. He's a 6'3" guard. So I think they'll kind of mix and match, and they have that roster flexibility to do it.
we've added a lot of seniority. We've also added a lot of size defensively. Not only in the front court, we've talked about that and how we now have 2 7-footers. We've also added a lot of size at the 3 and 4 position, 2, 3, and 4 position with Abdur-Rahim, with Cardet Jr. We're going to be, it reminds me of, we're not going to play the zone, but it reminds me of those like really long Syracuse teams that would just throw their like lanky bodies at you and just completely screw you up. I think we're going to be a nuisance on the defensive end. And I think offensively, we're going to be much better than we were last year.
Yeah, no, for sure. You think of it from a defensive perspective, Hopkins was having such a good year defensively before he went down. Like you said, you have good positional size and length throughout the entire roster. So they're going to present problems on the defensive end, and you would have to think that offensively, with the looks that they created last year, this year's team should be able to execute better and knock down shots. So, man, really exciting time coming in here.
The saddest part of all this is one of the PCBC's grandmas has to stay in the cage.
I guess so, right? I mean, I know some people float around, oh, get Freeman as well for the last spot, but I don't think that's
I
going to
don't think there's
happen.
I don't think there's enough basketballs to go around if we were to try and add Freeman as well.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Yeah, but no, I think the saddest thing, BOC, is we got to wait freaking 7 months for this to get underway.
I know. How about the video talking about Pierre making the jump? Pierre and Floyd Jr. looked like they had been spending time in the Iron Palace.
Yeah, no, they certainly have. Strength and conditioning program is really getting these guys big, so
But
should be good.
that's the important thing with this retention thing, like bringing it up full circle. It's these guys need time to develop. Like, not everybody's going to be a one and done and, like, be instantly productive. So Pierre has a chance to rewrite the whole narrative, and I think he's going to have, I mean, Floyd too. Floyd has a chance to rewrite the whole narrative too. They both still have 2 years of eligibility left. They're going to be very good players for Providence. Who knows if they're going to be role players this year? They're going to be starters. Who cares? As long as they buy in, like, that's the magic of what Danny Hurley has done at UConn, is he's gotten these players to buy in regardless of what their role is. And I think English is trying to replicate that. And if you can have Floyd Jr. buy into that role and Pierre buy into that role, like, we become a very, very deadly team, because some of our players who were starting last year might end up being the eighth or ninth men in the rotation. That's crazy. And it's no slight to them. It's not like they fell off. It's just their roster's improved that dramatically.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, so it should be an exciting summer. We'll keep at it with, we might not have any more ads to come for a little bit here, but
You never know.
you never know exactly. I say it all the time, this stuff is fluid. Who knows what happens, but we'll certainly have some content throughout the rest of the off season. Get some more pods in. Might do another space. I only went for an hour last night, BOC. I was like, I can't turn this into like a 3 hour thing. But shout out to all those that came on last night. Appreciate it. Do you got anything else, BOC?
No, man, to your point, I wish the season was starting tomorrow, because this team's ready to rock.
Yeah, no, agreed. All right. Until next time, Firetown. See you later.
See you guys.
Man up in my city, I'm the truth, yeah. David Duke when I'm way above the hoop, babe. Cross over, I might throw the hell at you. Heard they sleeping on me, well, let's take them back to school. PC, you know we on go, ayy. Feel like AJ Reeves when I'm off that pick and roll, ayy. Fall down, bounce back like Emmett Hope, ayy. I'm the alpha dog, Diallo. They was sleeping on me, that's what made me a savage. Anything we bump into, we gon' let them have it, yeah.
They don't want no static, we at the top just like the attic.
This year we taking over March Madness. Man up in my city, I'm the truth, yeah.